a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, joining us now, David Locke, kind enough to join the program. David, how are you?
Hey, David.
I'm great. Scotty, how are you? Hands, what's going on? What do we got today?
What's your, we're live here at Built Bar, at Built Bar HQ.
I was just down there the other day.
What's your Built Bar of choice?
Brownie Batter Puff is my puff of choice, and Coconut Brownie Chunk, which ironically enough, I learned that the brownie chunks that are so popular in the Coconut Brownie Chunk are actually what makes the Built Bar's Coconut Brownie Chunk, or Puff, excuse me, the Brownie Batter Puff is the same brownie that's on the coconut bread. That's why.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I got you now.
Does that make sense? You follow me? I didn't say that very well. But
yep. Yeah. No, I'm with you now. Well, yeah, no. We got the new grasshopper down here. We got the brownie batter, all kinds of good stuff. That birthday cake I thought was awesome.
Wait. Back up. The grasshopper?
Yeah.
Is it available again today?
Bunch of them. In fact, it is available. Oh, go to built.com.
Covered in cookie crumbs.
Can I have a minute?
When have we ever stopped you before?
Well, I mean, I got to go because those are my daughter's favorite, the grasshopper brownie cookie. I didn't know they were available, so I probably need to make an order. I don't really know. They're only 150 calories, 3.5 fat grams, 19 grams of, pretty incredible.
Yeah,
David. Before you go, can you give us a quick thought on the NBA postseason?
Before I go,
this postseason has been. I don't even know what to attach to it. Can you even give us a word of how you would describe this postseason?
So here's, I think. Well, it's been weird, right, with all the blowouts. I was talking to someone today about it. We just, could not figure out why there's been all these blowouts. I mean, every game's had their theory might have been there was a little bit of officiating. The officiating's been so different from one game to the next that it has an impact, but I don't know. I think the storyline of the playoffs very quickly tonight, probably, but maybe should be right now, gets to be whether or not we actually have one of the greatest runs in the history of the NBA. I mean, so the Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls went to six straight NBA finals and won six straight NBA finals with the two-year baseball exodus, right?
Correct.
The Golden State Warriors are on the verge of going to six straight NBA finals as long as Klay Thompson's playing. Right? There's really, Klay Thompson basically went, did actually harder than baseball. He actually went and had his legs repaired and was out for 2 years. And all of a sudden, the Golden State Warriors are on the verge of their sixth straight final, possibly winning their fourth of their last six. And I think you have to start, and then you start to consider 73 wins 67 wins, right? Like, I mean, you start to consider back at the beginning, you know, their opening run is a 60, what was it, 67, 73, 67?
Yep.
I think. And then have, you know, like this year wasn't as much, but it's also Clay doesn't play until, I think, what was it? Clay, Draymond, and Steph played like 14 possessions together all year?
Yeah.
So the playoffs?
Something low like that, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this has to suddenly be, I think there has to be a discussion here of, you know, and by the way, they're about to get through the Western Conference going 12-3.
Hmm.
Like, this hasn't been close. Right? That, the Memphis series was cute, but it wasn't close.
No. No. And this is an old-fashioned, I mean, I think you listen to some of the comments from Jason Kidd, and it almost sounds like a resignation. And when you're down 0-3, I mean, you know what it is.
They conceded big time in that press conference. I mean, Luka, I'm 23 years old. I have to get better to be able to win it. I mean, I thought it was incredible. I thought, you know, I don't know if you guys, your kids are the same as mine, but if I mention Carol Dweck and growth mindset to my child one more time, I do think at this point I'll get a bowl of spaghetti dropped on my head. But I also think, like, if you want one of the great examples of growth mindset, that press conference from Luka Doncic the other night was incredible. You know, he says, I'm 23 years old. I am not playing well. I need to get better. Like, it was kind of unbelievable. Like, I didn't, you know, I'm not sure I've heard that from a lot of guys. Have you?
Nope.
No.
Not like that.
No. And the way he addressed being dunked on, too, was absolutely hilarious. He was just like, it was amazing. That was an amazing play when Wiggins dropped the dunk on him.
So it's interesting because I would say that I don't know, like, I'll keep that. Like, there's a bunch of things that I keep. Like, I have, you know, I have Michael's answer to the game winner in game one over the Jazz in the 97 finals, that game one, I still have that, like, extended thing where he talks for 3 minutes and 10 seconds about a play that took, you know, 30, right? And he talks about all the different things he took in during the process, and it's kind of awesome. Like, that's why I kept it. You know, I have a day where LeBron was going back through, and, you know, I was fortunate. Like, that Luka quote right there, I put it in, I immediately transcribed it and put it into my notes for the Mavericks. I thought it was incredible.
So, on the Eastern side, it's 2-2, but no game has been really overly fun to watch in terms of competitiveness. I think Boston's just better. I think their roster's better from top to bottom. Does Boston eventually come out on top in this thing?
So I talking to someone else today. I'm using everybody else's thoughts today instead of my own. And they, you know the game far better than I do, so this is why I do this. And their comment was, Boston's the better team, but let's not forget how young Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown really are. And I thought that was interesting. Like, you know, it's a good point, right? They are both super young still. And maybe they're not, like, totally ready. They may get there because they're the better team, but they may not be totally ready yet for this.
Interesting.
And that might be why we're seeing, you know, like, there was a stat that was floating around last night about how great Jason Tatum has been after losses. I always find those super interesting. Like, why did it take that? Right? Like, well, that might be what he's 24. Jaylen Brown's 25. Like, guys don't, like, when did Steph win? 27, 28, Kawhi 28 on his own without Duncan. LeBron 27. Like, guys win at Giannis 28. I think guys don't win at that stage.
Is there I saw a couple people kind of propose this theory, and I'm not buying it, but I'm going to throw it out to you so you can either shoot it down or give it any kind of credibility. With the elongated season, a little bit more breaks, a little load management, is playing every other day wearing on some of these guys?
Oh, I'm certain playing every other day is wearing on them, because those games, I mean, that Milwaukee-Boston series was crazy physical. So I'm certain that playing every other day is wearing on them, and it is factual that they're basically playing, you know, a portion of multiple seasons, and, you know, they've played what, you know, we can truncate it back. I can't do it anymore. But it's, you know, yeah, they certainly have played a lot of different games in a short period of time. So, yes, I do think that there's something to that. I think that's totally valid.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, David, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the All-Star game that's coming here next year. What kinds of things should fans expect when it comes here to Salt Lake City?
I should be able to answer that question, but you know what the last All-Star game I went to was?
93?
Uh-huh.
Was it really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I don't think I've been to any other All-Star game.
That's interesting.
My wife's been to an All-Star game more recently than I am, because my wife covered the 50 all-time greats All-Star game.
Well, that wasn't that far after. That was, what, 94, 95?
Yeah, she covered a few, but yeah, that's like her, you know, like when I try to start acting like I'm cool. And I'll be like, so yeah, when I was covering, like that one gets dropped pretty regularly. Oh, that's the time when Michael said, could you please get this woman off my belly button? Because she was pushed up against Michael, and Michael's, could everybody take a step back so this woman's face is not on my belly button?
I hadn't heard that story. Yeah, well, she can also throw out the Super Bowl run with the Seahawks, too, at you.
Mm-hmm. And Alex Rodriguez dumping champagne on her at one point in her career, too. She has far better moments than I do. She wins all of these, actually.
And places
that she's covered games that I haven't.
We were just talking about the NFL Pro Bowl and how they're trying to tweak things and make it better. How solid is the All-Star game, the All-Star weekend? Is the NBA always looking to adapt and tweak and make better?
I think the feeling is that I think they have a contrast with the slam dunk contest that's a problem. It's such a part of the game and the history, and then it's not very good right now. And if you ever cancel it, then you cancel it forever, and I don't know that you really want to do that. I really think that the thing that's missing, and maybe none of the players would want to do it because they get hurt, is one-on-one.
Yeah.
I think, you know, frankly, it's not that different than the playoffs at this point. But, like, what about, like, one-on-one games to five? Or something short, 32, you know, 16 teams in, eight, you know, whatever, six, and there's a bracket. And you're just, like, I think it'd be amazing. Like, I assume Kyrie would win as the best one-on-one player in the world. But, like, who knows? Maybe Bam Adebayo tries to guard him and takes him into the post and is actually so big that he wins. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
Nicole,
it'd be, I think,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it'd be amazing. I mean, you know, you can't wear him out, so you don't want to have it be too big of games, but I think it'd be really, really pretty great.
You know what's interesting, though, about that is, so my older two kids weren't really crazy into sports. My third son is a sports nut, and watching how he consumes sports. Now, granted, he's only 11 years old, but watching how he and his fans
I've seen his developing career. Locke and Gerard, future partnerships on one of these radio stations somewhere.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But, you know, and watching how he consumes sports and how his friends consume sports, like they'll be out in the back playing and somebody makes a, you know, breaks an ankle and a kid falls down and runs past him and they all lose their mind. And you got, or, you know, Most or, you know, Shaqt and a Fool, like they drop those things like crazy. I don't think you'd ever see a one-on-one because players are insanely aware of not of looking bad and making mistake, you know, of getting owned or crossed over or falling down. Like, I mean, they are so keenly concerned about that for their public image.
They are.
I don't see anybody putting themselves at risk in that regard.
But, man, I love the idea.
I do, too. Because
that's,
everybody...
And, so that's the, and that's why you could never have that happen?
Yeah, because they're so keenly aware that that... We're not watching games anymore. We're watching clips and we're watching little bite-sized pieces. And people love it when somebody crosses over and falls and steps back and hits a three in their face. And not, I don't think anybody wants to get dunked on. Nobody wants to get crossed over. No, you know, it's like I'm not going to make myself put myself out there where I look bad.
No one wants to lose. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a bummer. But you're probably right. You're probably right. Like. But it's, it would be really cool. I would like to see it.
It'd be incredible.
Maybe they should do it as a promotion for gaming, and that they play themselves one on one.
There you go, there you go. Hey, so this is probably not a great question to ask when we're supposed to go to break right now.
I'm looking forward to that.
Well, yeah, you may not look forward to this one. So based on reports, and again, take it for with a grain of salt, and I'm just, you know, stuff that may be out there, and I'm not saying it's true or not, but should you be making roster moves in regards to your future team building in relation to an All-Star game coming up in one All-Star game coming up in February?
So I talked about this earlier. I think with Alex and Scott. Here's where I don't think that's what the franchise would do. Because it's not, you would be on pause for your next two player movement periods, not just one. So, in other words, if you decide you're not making a move during the off season right now because you don't want to trade, you want to have All-Stars for the All-Star game, okay? Like, let's just go with that as a concept. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's what someone would do. But let's just go with those reports, which, you know, I've been around this league a long time. Somebody says it offhand and the reporter goes with it as though it's fact. Like, I've seen that a million times, right?
Yeah.
Like, some GM or, some assistant GM says to someone, like, gosh, you think they'd actually move those guys during the All-Star break? And they're like, before the All-Star break, and they're like, oh, that's interesting. And then they write it. So let's say for a second that someone brings this up as you're not doing it for this offseason. You're also taking out next trade deadline.
Yeah.
Because that's before the All-Star game. So you actually have eliminated yourself from being partaking of what you need to do as a franchise for two periods of time. If there really is the idea that you don't want to trade Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert because you have such a great package, even though if you have a great package for them, because you don't want them coming back to Salt Lake City for the All-Star game, it might have, I don't think it does, but it might have a minor bit of validity that if you were to trade them right at the trade deadline, their next appearance would be in Salt Lake City for the All-Star game. Right?
Yep.
Like, that one could be where I guess it's awkward. I find all of this. Somebody calls up the Jazz and says, I'll give you two rotation players and four first-round draft picks. They're going to say, sorry, we have the All-Star game coming?
No. Yeah.
Right?
That's pretty silly.
Someone calls them up and says, hey, I'll give you one rotation player and a second-round pick. No thanks. That team goes and says, well, they don't want to make a move because the All-Star break. Like, I mean, I swear that's how it works. But if someone makes an offer that's going to change your franchises and it's the right move to make, you always make that. Like, if it's a no-break, like, you make it. Like, that's the reality.
That's why, like, anytime I hear a team say someone's not available to be traded, so Giannis, right? Giannis is not available, I think. Anybody else?
Nope.
Jason Tatum's working close to it. And Steph, I think the Warriors would have a hard time trading Steph for Giannis right now. Because of Steph's place in the history of their franchise. So there's three players?
That's about it. LeBron's not on that list anymore, although they won't, but
right. No, but he's not on. No, no. Milwaukee calls tomorrow and says, we'll give you Giannis. They're making that trade.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Sorry, LeBron. That's a good point.
All right. Fun. Let's see if your kids like Milwaukee. All right, so the idea that someone's not available is a really silly concept in this league.
Yeah.
Players are always available. Like,
yeah.
The question is going to be, the question is going to be whether or not, I think the question is going to be whether or not, no one can. Giannis, Steph, and it's really basically would you trade someone for Giannis at this point? It's really what you're asking. And I think if Milwaukee called the Warriors and said, we'll trade you Giannis for Steph, the Warriors should make that trade, and I think they wouldn't. Like, you just can't. I mean, Steph may go down as the greatest athlete in the Bay Area ever. Sorry, Joe Montana.
Giannis for KD. Brooklyn still
Brooklyn
does
makes
that
trade in a second. Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
KD's totally available. KD's totally available. Like, you build a package for KD, it would have to be, like, amazing, right? Like, it's not like APAC. Like, it would be a franchise. You're giving, but, like, if we call Brooklyn and said, here's Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert for Kevin Durant, they do it, right?
Correct. Yep. They do it. Well, David, we appreciate it. I think so, too. Always a pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
If I see you
remind
soon,
me, I'll have to call you. You and I haven't talked in a while. I'll have to call you. I have a really super funny story for you, too. So.
Oh, I'm down for sure.
Go get those grasshopper built bars, David.
By the way, Hans, I missed you out there at Palin's. I was in your back of the neck of the woods, and I've already ordered them while we were talking. But I missed you over at Palin's, Hans. I was hoping you were going to come by and say hi.
It's a hidden gem, isn't it?
What was that?
That's a hidden gem over there, isn't it?
It's nice. Course. It was not a hidden gem for the girls on Friday. They played 36 on Friday, and it started at 36 degrees with a 25 to 30 mile an hour wind. And they were playing at 6,000 yards. I don't think that actually was a hidden gem. I don't think any of them want to relive that actually for 1 minute.
That's a fight.
At least you didn't have mosquitoes.
No, they finished. They played 36, and when they finished, two of them. I was standing next. I went to see my daughter, her friend, and they literally looked at me like, I can't even walk back in. 2 feet putt, 2 foot putts were just, like work every single time. Every single one of them was blowing so hard. That Saturday it was much more of a hidden gem, but it was not a hidden gem on Friday. It was quite awful, actually.
Yeah,
we'll get out and play. I want to go play with you.
Yeah, well, how about I'll bring my daughter and we'll play me and her best ball against you.
I understand, it
means David's taking the day off right there. Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
See you guys. Bye.
You got it. David Locke right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.